Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm really excited to talk about how to get big results faster. This is the science of motivation and action. It's how really successful outliers, people who are achieving so much more than your average Joe, how they are really doing so much more than most of us with the same 24 hours in a day. It's how we can leap the chasm of where we are now and where we want to be in the future and make huge, bold strides forward where most people are stuck year to year, not really feeling like they're moving forward, watching people who are being successful and thinking that they are inherently smarter or that they have more willpower, when in fact that is not the case. They are just understanding the science of these things and applying it. So you can do that too, and we're going to talk about how to do that. So this episode was inspired by Keisha, who I did a podcast episode with. She's lost nearly 60 pounds in Lean with Plants now, and she messaged me because I put out on Instagram, what kind of content do you want to see from me and what would be helpful? And she sent me a message. Keisha is an amazing pod leader in our program, and she's used tiny steps to help her lose those nearly 60 pounds and knows she can continue that for the rest of her life. But her question was, and I'm going to read it to you, when is it time to take a bigger leap? You talk about bigger goals and commitments like doing your 5K run a day and other things that take bigger commitment than the tiny step. So I know these tiny steps into bigger goals and steps for you, but I wonder how to connect the tiny steps at some point, having the girls in my pod making bigger commitments to themselves and their tiny steps, or just in general, bigger goal commitments. So she was asking, when do you know that it's time to make a bigger commitment and make a bigger step? And really, what's the process of doing that? And it got me thinking that I've made some really big changes in my life over the past couple of months. I invested in a running coach who has helped me go from struggling to run 5 to 7 Ks to being at a point where I can sign up for a half marathon a week out and know that I can complete that. I actually just signed up for one, which is literally, it's a week out. That's huge. She's taken me from kind of sporadic exercise after I'd finished my 5K a day challenge to being committed and consistently working out 5 days a week. Like, that's a big change. Also, kind of behind the scenes, I've been learning a lot. Like, I invested in getting some coaching because I really, really want to make the Lean with Plants program and what we offer to people, I want to make it so that you almost can't not succeed. Like, that's my goal. My goal would be that everything is so set up with habits and motivation and community and accountability and gateway habits and understanding progress and all of that, so that you can come in and you can't help but succeed. And we have some phenomenal success in the community. Like, Keisha is a prime example of this. But I want it to be better because I know that it can be, and I know that it can be constantly evolving. So So I've been investing in learning how to do that and getting some coaching myself. And it's been this huge learning curve. Lots and lots going on in my brain. Lots of time spent just learning stuff. And there's these two instances, the coaching that I've been getting for my business and then the coaching that I've been getting from a running coach, they have pushed me and accelerated me so fast and so far in such a short space of time. How does that work? Like, what is the science behind it? That's what we're going to talk about today. The first question that Keisha asked about is, when do you know that you're ready to make some big changes? Here's the kind of thought processes you're probably having if you're at that point. If you've been making some tiny shifts and you've been taking tiny steps for a while, but you're still feeling stalled. If you feel stuck, like you've tried lots of things, but you're not seeing consistent progress, then that's probably an indication that you need bigger change. If the feeling of pain and discomfort of staying where you are is so great that you have realized you will do what it takes to change, then you're probably ready for some big changes. If you have any sense of urgency where you go, I really got to start working on this now, like time is ticking, I do not want to be where I am a year from now, then that's probably a good indication as well. When the thing that you stand to gain feels so attractive and compelling and you know that you can get there faster with big changes, and the pain that that change is going to cost you or what it's going to cost you feels worth it, then you're probably ready for change. And there was a story that I heard from someone who went to a Tony Robbins event, and they got up and they were like, hey, you know, I've got this problem where I'm scared of success. I self-sabotage because I'm scared of success. And Tony Robbins looks at the guy and he says, you're not scared of success. You're scared of what it's going to cost you. Mic drop. And it's so true that we're not scared of that feeling of success. We're not scared of that. But we don't like the idea that it's going to hurt to get there. We're going to have to put in the work, the boring hours, eat the vegetables, say no. Like, we don't like that part of it. That's the part we're scared of. Not the result, the cost of getting there. So this is one thing to think about, is making big changes require bigger sacrifices. So when you get to the point where you're like, this, the cost of this is worth it for me, and you recognize that, then that's when you're probably at a point where you can start making some big changes. So I call this stage the motivation. This is where you're saying to yourself, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to change. You're saying, I'm stuck. I need help. I'm willing to do that hard, boring, difficult work because I want the results so much. Now, this is the part that's really key, is that just having that motivation and just feeling that pain doesn't actually make you follow through. We've all experienced where we are super, super motivated, but we don't do the thing. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. You need that motivation to compel you to take some kind of action. But the thing that actually unlocks all of this is commitment. Commitment is the key. It's almost like a wedding or a marriage. You can love someone. You can be committed to someone. There's a reason that people stand at an altar in front of all their friends and they sign a legal document and declare it in front of a minister, I am going to stay with you till death do we part. Like, that is commitment. You can have motivation before that point. You can say I love you, but that is a level of commitment that unlocks something else. It's like when you buy a house. You can love the house. You can like it. I have to break this up to bring this in. We just watched the movie The House, which if you like weird artistic movies that make you think, then you will probably like it. There's lots of theories online as to what it means. It's a stop motion Netflix movie. Anyway, there's a part in there where I won't give any spoilers or anything, but there's basically someone that won't leave a house, and they come to look at it and they say, "We are very interested in the house." And they just keep saying that, and Nick's been saying it so much. And it kind of just makes me think about that, because we can be really interested in something, we can be motivated, but until you actually sign on the dotted line and you put some money down and you say, "Hey, I want to bid this much on the house," then you're not going to have the benefits of actually getting and living in that house. So motivation is the first step. It's the commitment piece that unlocks the key. The commitment is where you go, "I'm dead serious about this." And this part of it is all about putting some skin in the game. It has to cost you. It has to be something where, metaphorically, you sign the contract. You make it painful to break. You make the public declaration. You set the deadline. You say, "I'm doing this." And then you sign away your money to it. It doesn't have to be money, but I hope you're getting the idea. So the commitment piece, you must put some kind of skin in the game. The easiest, most effective way to do this is to pay. There is a reason, I've used this analogy a lot, but there is a reason that people will pay $60,000 a year to go to university for something that they could learn for free on YouTube. I'm not talking about being a doctor or a lawyer. There are a lot of things that you can learn for free, but we pay to so that we show up. When you pay attention. This is so key. Like, this is a huge reason that I look at my app every day. I see my workouts and I go and do it, because I'm paying every month for that level of accountability. So the commitment piece is where you are putting your stake in the ground. You're saying, "This is worth the cost," and you're making it cost something. You're giving some kind of sacrifice up front so that you can follow through. And there are a lot of ways to do this. This could be a program that you pay for. It could be a coach that you hire. It could be some kind of plan that you commit to. But remember, again, you've got to put that stake in the ground. You've got to put skin in the game. You've got to sign the contract. You've got to make it super unsatisfying and painful and difficult for you to not follow through. A big way of doing this is making things public and putting your reputation on the line. This is very effective, especially for people who are deciding that they're going to go sober, is actually putting that out in public and saying, "I'm sober now. I don't drink. I won't be drinking at this event," or whatever. It's ringing up all their friends and saying, like, this is the new me. Like, they are putting their reputation on the line, where if they don't follow through with that, everyone will find out. Everyone knows, unless you go and you sneak something. But you're making it harder for you to do that because you've put some kind of skin in the game. And when I did this running plan, this 5K a day challenge, I, for 90 days, I got to 85 and then I got COVID. I was so frustrated. But I've done an entire episode about that, which talks all about these kind of habits and why I was able to commit to that, even though it was something really difficult. But at that time, like, I made a very, very public declaration up front that I was going to do this 5K a day challenge. I talked about starting it. Once I did start it, I put it out on my Instagram, I put it out on the podcast, and people knew I was going to be doing this. So that was that commitment piece. There was a public. And this is something that I've used a lot when I want to release something and I know that fear of failure and procrastination and just all of the things that come with not following through are going to get me. So when I started to release this podcast, I had to put it out there and stake my reputation on the fact that on XYZ date, there would be an episode. And I think I've missed at most It was a bit different when we were in America. But apart from that, I've only missed like one. I don't think I've ever missed more than two episodes. So every week, apart from our stint in America, and the podcast has been going a couple of years, because I would make that public declaration at the end. You've probably heard me say, see you next week. I'm creating some kind of commitment device, which is really just a way of making it easier for you to follow through and harder for you to not, at this end of every podcast episode. So this piece, like, this is so important, and I feel like so many people understand the motivation piece, but they don't get the commitment, and you need it. You really, really need it. So part of this is creating some kind of deadline before you have the full plan. So the commitment piece is, it's an understanding that you are going to follow through. It's that you've gotten serious and you're really going to do it. You're not going to half-ass this. You're not going to be, well, you know, maybe I will be there. It's the difference between saying, making a doctor's appointment and saying, oh, you know, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at the doctor's appointment. I'm going to show up for my surgery, and going, oh, well, maybe on Tuesday I will go for a walk. You can see how they're very different things, even in the way that you think about them. One, you go, this is happening, and I have set up things to make it happen. The other one is, well, maybe if I get around to it. So setting up some kind of deadline before you have that full plan, which is your start date, and then building that as you go. And this is what happens in coaching. This is why coaching is one of the most effective parts of this. It's why professional athletes, business people, anyone really who's like singers and actors and anyone who are outliers, it's why they have coaches. Because they don't have to know the entire plan. They just say, I am going to commit, which is why I am paying you, why I'm signing this contract, why I'm going to start with you on this date, and then we will see how it goes. We will see the plan as it unfolds, and we will adjust from there. Same with marriage. You don't go into marriage knowing how you're going to overcome all of those obstacles. You just make a commitment that you will. So in order to see huge results, you have to follow the plan, but the commitment is what makes it so likely that you will, because you've essentially entrapped yourself into following through. So let's talk about the plan. This is the third piece in these stages. The plan must be clearly defined. It must have specific, simple goals and clearly understood expectations and deadlines. I'm going to use the marriage analogy because we're already here. Normally, when people commit at the altar, they say something to the effect of, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, better or worse, till death do we part. Do you see how there's very clearly defined expectations and goals in there? That even if it's difficult, that even if it's painful, that even if it would be better off if we weren't together, like for better or worse, do what you will with that. Like, that's the commitment that I made. Till death do us part. Like, that's the out. And not everyone makes those kind of vows, but in a traditional sense, that's what people do. So you must have very clear, simple, defined goals so that there's no decision making around it, and you're really just following the plan. Like, that's really how you can do big things fast. Here's an example. When I was doing this running challenge, all I had to do was run 5 kilometers every single day for 90 days. I had my clearly defined daily goal and I had my deadline. I didn't have to decide when or how many Ks I was going to run, what days of the week I was going to run, how long that was going to go for. Everything was set. So I really just had to become robotic in following that. I had to make a few decisions like what route I was going to go and what time of day. But that was kind of it. I started my weight loss with something called the potato reset. And the potato reset is where you commit to eating only potatoes and vegetables for a defined length of time. And again, very, very simple. I'm going to eat non-starchy vegetables and I'm going to eat potatoes and I'm going to do it for a month. Can you see how it's specific, clear, defined, and there's a definite deadline in there? So essentially this is, I'm going to start this on this day. I'm going to do this activity. I'm going to do it till this, or until we go to another phase. So if you had a workout program, it could be, I'm going to do, because some things are not defined endings, right? Like my running coaching, it's not a defined ending, but I know what I'm going to be doing every day because that's set for me by my coach. And the deadline is about doing it on the days that it's set. So the deadline becomes, hey, I've got a workout today. I must do it today. Period. Easy. Deadline done. And some things do require there to be more steps and there to be more complexity in what actually you do for the follow through. An example of this is something like launching my membership. When I first started Lean with Plants and put it out there, I didn't know exactly all the steps I was going to need to actually deliver that membership. And this is where it's really important that, if you remember, I said you build as you go. You set the deadline, you make the commitment before you have the full plan so that you actually follow through and you do not become a helpless prisoner to the traps of procrastination and procrastinate work and putting things off. So in that instance where there's more complexity, I will almost always make the commitment and then I will be working out the plan. And the commitment and the deadline is what helps me to strip away what's necessary and what's not. So basically all I said was, hey, I'm going to be starting a weight loss membership. It's going to be this much. And we're going to be opening for enrollment on this date. And then working backwards from there. I knew I needed a way to collect payments. I knew I needed some webs for people to watch the videos and get in contact with me. And then everything else was built as I went. I built the plane as I went. But the thing is, especially with this, and there's a lot more that goes into it when you're trying to create something from scratch. And there's a real benefit, like if you want to create something that's never been created before, or you're in that process, that creative process, like entrepreneurship or something with arts or something where you don't have a clearly defined plan, then you're going to need to rely more on this commitment stage, because that plan will become clearer the more deadlines you have and the more you can reverse engineer the follow through and really force yourself to execute. This is a lot harder. Like realistically, I think there's a lot of, like, I think anyone can do it. I really do. I think that people who tend to do it love it. Like that's kind of what I've realized. I've realized more and more that people who love the game of challenging themselves in a run tend to be the ones that go on and do that. People who love the game of building a business or being an entrepreneur or creating content, those are the ones that tend to do it. They do it because they love the process. They don't just love the outcome. So if you want the outcome, if you want the weight loss, like we're all here because we want to lose weight or you want to get to that weight loss goal. So with that, you don't have to create something from scratch. You don't have to forge this completely new path. There's very simple things that you need to do. So it's really just deciding what they are or having someone help you to decide that, following the plan and being robotic and executing it without deviation, without much deviation. Because remember, in this instance, this is not about taking tiny steps. It's about setting up a system that stops you from deviating. So you really should be able to commit at a much higher level. But remember, you do have to have a lot more skin in the game to do that. The thing to think about here is in this planning stage, you're kind of robotic. You know the things that you need to do. You know the most important parts that you need to hit that. I'm going to run 5Ks a day for 90 days. I'm going to eat potatoes and vegetables for a month. I'm going to launch my membership on this date. I know that I need to take payments and have somewhere that people can actually get what they're paying for, right? Any decision fatigue that you eliminate in the planning part, in the planning stage, is extremely important for you to be able to follow through. Any kind of decisions that you have to make, it's going to be really hard for you to follow through. And this is what I love so much about my having a running coach, because I literally look at the app, I see what workouts are scheduled for me, and I go and do them. I don't have to decide whether I'm feeling up to it. Like, if I'm feeling really crappy, I won't do it and I'll try and move my days around. But most of the time, it's just, when am I going to go and where am I going to go? I don't have to decide what I'm going to do. Like, I will keep paying for this. This is so incredibly valuable for me because it gets me out the door 5 times a week, and I have made so much progress just by doing that, not having to make any decisions, just following the plan and trusting the process. So this leads on to accountability. And I gotta say it, if you want to make phenomenal changes fast, then you're gonna need to have some kind of accountability. Accountability is really just someone outside of yourself that keeps you following the plan and keeps you committed. The best way for you to do that is some kind of coach or some kind of person that is going to be following up on you and helping you, even you just knowing that they are looking out for you. That is going to be so huge to you being able to follow through. Like, the thing is, guys, we're talking about making big changes. They're going to be big things. Like, I hope that this is coming across, that you want big changes, like they're going to be big changes. So something outside of yourself that keeps you following through. Accountability could also be with another person that you're not paying. But remember, when you're not paying someone, you've got less skin in the game. Unless you're competing in some way with someone, or the people that you are doing some kind of challenge with are just as committed, if not more. This was a key part of the 5-kilometer challenge that I did. I'm a committed person. If I say that I'm going to do something, I do it. And the two girls that I did this 5K day challenge with are also extremely committed people. Like, there was times where one of them would go and run after a 13-hour shift and being in a different city. There was times that I would run at 11 o'clock at night on my little treadmill desk thing because we're committed people. And so getting those people around me where there was no good enough excuse for me to not follow through. Like, there was nothing that was going to be like, I'm going to feel okay if they know that I didn't do this. That can be incredibly powerful. That can be enough. But those kind of people, that's most of the time, that's people pay for that. Like, let's be honest. It's why business people are in masterminds. It's why runners are in running groups. It's why gym junkies pay to go to the gym. Because having that kind of accountability it's kind of hard in our day-to-day lives to find that. It's why people go to retreats and things where all the environment is set up where they can only eat those kind of foods, and everyone there is eating broccoli and potatoes and exercising every day, because there's a level of accountability when you're with those kinds of people. Another piece to accountability is really just getting around people who expect a higher level of follow through from you. There's a lot to be said for having grace for people and like meeting people where they're at. But realistically, someone who is going to propel you forward faster is someone that is going to call you out. They're the person that's going to say, when it's difficult, they're going to give you strategies to get you stronger rather than saying, oh, I'm sorry it was difficult, and let's make it easier for you. So when I've been really finding my speed workouts each week difficult, and I like to the point where sometimes I can't even complete them. And I was talking about this to my running coach, and I emailed her and I was like, this is really hard. I'm really struggling in that. And she didn't say, you know what, we're going to change your program to make it easier for you. She didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry that was so hard, like let's adjust things, or don't be too hard on yourself, at least you went out and got there. She said to me, here are some of the strategies that I use when I'm finding my runs really difficult. I say my son's name over and over again. I say to myself, like, this is hard, but you are stronger. It needs to be hard because it needs to grow you. She gave me tools and expected me to be a higher level of person. She pulled me up rather than seeing that I was down. And this is what you want when you get around people who expect a higher level from you. They will pull you up to their level. They will not allow you to stay where you are. And this is exactly the kind of people that you want around you when you are trying to make big changes fast. These are the kind of people you need in your corner if you want to have outlier kind of results. When I say outlier, I hope people know what I mean. Outliers are just people that are achieving more than everyone else, essentially. And they go over and above the status quo. There's a great book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers. Some people don't like it. I found it really helpful to understand all the things that contribute to someone's success. So if you're interested in a good read, then I think that's a good one. Moving on, after accountability. This step is also super important, and that's some kind of way to measure progress. So this is how you know that when you're going through the changes and when you're doing the hard, boring work, that you are actually moving closer to your goal. This is going to be the most motivating factor for you to actually keep going. The simplest way that you can do this is to measure your progress with some kind of habit tracker or some kind of progress tracker. For example, if you are on a workout program and you're going 3 days a week and you don't really feel like motivated to keep going, you don't really know if you're getting any stronger, you don't really know what you should be doing differently, it's going to be, even if you're committed to that, even if you've got accountability, you're going to lose trust in the process because you don't know if you're progressing. So one of the simplest things in that scenario is really just to track what your weights are and what your performance is, and then measure that every week and then slightly change it. Like, you're probably doing this anyway. Here's the thing, most people are doing that anyway, but when they track it and they measure it, then they can actually see that they're making progress. We need to be able to visualize that we're making progress. This is why something like a habit tracker is so effective, because there's gonna be those moments where we think, I don't know if this is working. And then you go and you can say, hang on a minute, I have been eating vegetables every day for 5 days. Like, that is success. I'm more consistent than I was 2 weeks ago. I've been to the gym more days than what I ever did before. I'm running more kilometers and I'm getting faster than I was the week before. That is how you know that what you're doing, even if you're not at your goal yet, is actually getting you closer, because you're able to measure that. It's why we say, take your weights, actually measure. There's a lot of reason for measuring your weights or taking your weight. I do that every morning. And I know some people say, like, that's it's an unhealthy thing. I don't even want to get into it, but it's not founded in any science that it's unhealthy to take your weight every day. It's an incredibly good accountability system. I should have put that in there. by doing that every day, I am able to stay very accountable because it's a quick progress measure of if I'm going off track. Okay. Michael Greger talks about in his book as well. They've done so many studies on it. He actually says that the studies support weighing yourself twice a day as the most effective to maintaining your weight. I don't do that. Once a day is enough for me. But some kind of measure of progress is going to be incredibly helpful. Taking progress pictures, tracking how much weight you're losing. I think most importantly, tracking the process, having a way of measuring the outcome, the habits or the actions, not just the outcomes. This is why it's so, so key to have something that you're not just succeeding when you get to the goal, because it's too much of a latent measure. So that's why all of these things are super important. And then lastly is the follow through. This is really how you keep doing it for the long haul. And one of the things I realized was that in this instance, we all have that super motivation to begin with. We all, once we get committed, we put the down payment, we get the coach, we put it out there online or whatever it is, make the public declaration, we're all rearing to go and we're ready. And then we create our plan and we've figured that out, we know what we're going to do, we've got the accountability to keep going. But at some point, you're going to hit a little bit of a wall where you go, I don't know if this is happening quick enough, or I've got some kind of concern that needs addressing, and I don't know if I can keep doing this. There's always going to be that happens. I hope you understand that is a part of the process, and it's okay. It's normal. But this is why this stage is so important. One of the first things to do is to remove distractions so that you can stay focused. Because when you commit to something, you do not want to be thinking, well, maybe I should have done that. Or maybe I should have done this other thing. Or maybe I'd be seeing quicker results if I did this. Or maybe I should be cooking like her. Maybe I should be doing keto. Or maybe I should be going to the gym 5 times a week instead of 3. And why am I doing 3 times a week? And that's not enough. Like, you have to remove these distractions so that you can focus on doing what you need to do to see results. This could be as practical as unfollowing a whole lot of people on social media. It could be setting time blocks for yourself if you're working towards something so that you actually get that done. It could be putting blockers. I've talked about this a lot on your phone or whatever else. It could be deciding that you're not going to go to the restaurant with that group of friends because you're really not wanting to drink alcohol anymore. So this piece is so important because it's the environmental piece. It's the hidden hand that shapes behavior, as James Clear says, and we've got to stay laser focused on our goal and what's going to get us there and remove distractions to that. Like, you made the commitment. You put skin in the game. You've got that accountability, but that can get thwarted quite easily if you're not intentional about removing distractions so that you can stay focused. Let's use that same marriage analogy. You don't typically date other people while you're married because that's distractions to your marriage, right? Okay, so environmentally, this could be the same kind of thing. In your home environment, you want to remove those distractions. You want to remove the cake, the cookies, the chocolate chips, what your trigger foods, the chips, whatever, pizza. Delete the Domino's app off your phone. Come on, Charles, delete that Domino's app. Actually, I have not ordered Domino's for a long time. We do have vegan Domino's in New Zealand, just so you know. Anyway, remove those distractions. Okay, clear up your environment so that you stay focused on what you need to do. Now, this is another part, like I've said this a lot, but having some kind of coach, having some kind of person or program or system outside of you who can keep reminding you that this works. And so as I've been doing this program and having a coach, with trying to improve lean of plants and work on a whole lot of stuff, there's been a lot of moments where it's really challenged my beliefs and some limiting beliefs that I have. And I've actually had to just go to my coach and be like, hey, like, what about this? Or, well, what if I did this? What would happen? And I'm concerned about this. And him being able to walk me through that process when I, because I didn't know, this is the thing, another thing that's going to happen. When you're making big changes and you want to get those big results, most of the time you don't really trust the plan because you've never done it yet. You're really trusting that someone else and something that you've committed to is going to help, is that it's going to work. And so in those moments of doubt, it's so imperative that you have someone or something that you can reach out to so that you can be reminded of why you're trusting that process. They're going to answer your concerns and they're going to teach you to trust the process because they've walked it first. This will be exactly the same as having a mentor. The mentor is the one that says to you, it's okay, little grasshopper. This is how it works. Jersey on, jersey off. Like, I'm mixing up all my references. You get the idea. They know what works. They are reminding you when you don't trust it. Now, this is another important part of the follow through. It's not go big or go home. It's go big or tiny step to help you follow through. I use both. It's not either or. I use tiny gateway habits that help me to continue to make progress on those hard days. Because even with all this, there are going to be days that you lose motivation. There are going to be days where it doesn't feel worth it, even in the commitment. So you need these tiny gateway habits and these tiny steps that keep propelling you forward. This setup is the best that we know exists. Like, there is so much science that backs all of this and all of these stages, but this is what we know works. It's what people have used for generations to accelerate their progress. But you still have to do it on those hard days, and being able to take a tiny step is going to mean that you open up the opportunity for more steps to come from that. And I was thinking about this the other day because it was a Monday, but it was a public holiday, and I actually got quite a bit of work done. And I said to Nick, I was like, hey, you know what? Sometimes I think I get more work done and better work done on weekends and public holidays than I do in the week. And I think it's because on the weekdays, I set this huge long to-do list for myself and I have all these expectations of what I can achieve. And then I feel bummed out when I'm like not close to that, or I can see halfway through the day like I've mucked around and I'm not going to get there. And even if I do tick them off, it's just like, it's not a pat on the back, well done. It's like, that's the bare minimum. But on the days when I'm not having to work and I do anything, I feel flippin' amazing. I'm like, look at me. I did a podcast on a public holiday. It's not today. So that expectation changes because of it being amazing that I took any kind of step. So on those days, all you need to do is to come back to tiny steps that are going to lead you towards that next one. So for instance, another example of this is with my running. On those days where I'm like, I look at the run and I'm like, I can't do 15K. More of the time, like, the long runs are okay. The long, slow runs I'm fine with. It's the speed workouts that I really am like, I don't know how I can do that. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, I don't even want to get out the door because I'm scared of that failure. But I say to myself, tiny steps, right? Just get in the car. Just put on your workout gear. Just put on your shoes. Okay, just do the warm-up. See how you feel after the warm-up. I always do it. I always try and I always do my best. But I make the barrier to entry smaller on those moments, so that I can actually make progress and do it. That's all we're trying to do with tiny steps. That's the power of tiny steps. It's not that they're the only things that we can do. It's that they open up the opportunity for us to see greater and greater progress when we prioritize action. All of this is about becoming an action-oriented person. The more action you take, the more results that you get. This is what distinguishes successful people from not. Unsuccessful people spend a lot of time complaining about why they're not and not taking action. They spend a lot of time planning and trying to find the perfect program, the perfect business model or diet or coaching program or whatever it is, meal frequency, meals, who knows what. Successful people get committed. They set up systems around themselves to help them follow through, and then they build it as they go, and they get robotic about doing it. And you can do that too. You can learn to do that. But I want to encourage you that if you are someone who wants to see big changes in a short period of time, and you are someone who you feel stuck, you feel a sense of urgency, you're willing to take on some of this pain of big change, then I encourage you to use these six steps to actually follow through. Because if you don't, it's very unlikely that you will see big changes. Now, this is why tiny steps are so important, because you don't have to have as big of a commitment. You don't have to have as much motivation or accountability or as clear of a plan or progress measures when you use tiny steps. And that's why I talk about them so much, because they are phenomenal for helping to for us to stack progress even when we lack some of those things. And just like this, they will always be something that you can use to help you to keep making progress. And I'm sitting here with Atomic Habits next to me, and the back of the book says this: a revolutionary system to get 1% better every day. People think you want to change your life. People think when you want to change your life, you need to think big. But well-renowned habits expert James Clear has discovered another way. He knows that real change comes from the compound effect of hundreds of small decisions. Doing 2 push-ups a day, waking up 5 minutes earlier, or reading just one more page. He calls them atomic habits. So they are so, so incredibly powerful. I really think it's both. I think we're so capable of doing hard, difficult, big things. Something like writing a book, for example, like that's like flipping huge. So you can use both. It's tiny habits, it's tiny gateway actions, but it's also setting up an environment and setting up a system that propels you forward without the need for motivation or willpower. And I want to put a little disclaimer on this as well, is that if what you're doing is working, don't change it. Well, you don't need to change it unless it's not going fast enough for you. So if you're seeing consistent progress, if you're feeling like you can maintain what you're doing and you're enjoying the process and you're getting to where you want to be and it's not taking too long for you, then why would you change it? Don't change what ain't broke, my friend. This is for people who feel stuck and that they want those big changes faster. So some examples that I've used of this method or of these stages are 5K a day challenge that I did, the potato reset that I did when I first started my weight loss, specific things to follow, specific goals, tons of commitment. Marriage is another one. Buying our house was another one. Starting Lean with Plants, the membership. I committed to it, I put it out there, and I followed through because I had, and I built it as I went. Every single time we've opened Lean with Plants and launched for the quarter is exactly the same thing. We put a deadline and we say, we're going to open on this day, and we work backwards from that so that we actually do. Hiring staff and hiring contractors, you get to the point where you realize, hey, it's pretty painful where I am without help. I need help. I'm willing to have that sacrifice of paying people because it's going to give me the benefit that I want. You have the plan for them to follow, and then you keep working on that follow through with helping people to, or having ways of measuring progress. So that's another example of that. Hiring a running coach. I also at some point hired a macro coach, and I've talked about that in an episode as well. And like, there's so many examples of this. These are just a few off the top of my head. And also any program that I've ever done, all the courses that I've bought have achieved the same kind of thing. A mastermind that I'm in, the coaching that I've done, all of it is the same same kind of system. There's always been some kind of commitment, some kind of motivation, some kind of plan, follow through, and level of accountability. So I hope that you found this episode helpful. What I would love as an action step is to think about, first of all, whether you want big changes, whether you are the kind of person who is like, yeah, you know what, like I really, really want that. And then if you are, which of these do you have, or what stage you're at, or are you trying to follow a plan, but you're motivated, but you haven't made commitments and put skin in the game? Have you put skin in the game? You signed up for the gym. You told everyone you were going to do it. You've got the plan to follow through, but you don't have the accountability or the way to measure progress. Or do you have the accountability, but you don't have a plan? Like, there's so many parts of this. They all need to work together. So have a think about which ones you have, what are working for you, and which ones you really need if you're going to see these results. And I got to say as well, like, this is not the reason that I decided to do this episode, but because this has been not so much on my mind, because we are moving in this direction with wanting to get the most phenomenal results for the people that we work with, we are going to be offering a program very soon that has all of these elements: one-on-one accountability, a very specific plan to follow through, very, very specific ways to measure progress so that you know you're getting closer to the goal, the accountability, all of that kind of thing. And we have not released that yet. There will be limited spaces, and it is going to be for serious people who really, really want to put some skin in the game so they can get those phenomenal results. But I will put a link, if you're interested, I will put a link in the description so you can check that out. So go out there, my friend, crush it, make some commitments, put some skin in the game, get some accountability, measure your progress as you go. And on a final note, take a moment to think back to how far you've come, because you're probably further than you think, and don't lose sight of that. Have a great week, and I will see you next week for another one. Okay,